Good afternoon. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you all very much for coming out this afternoon. And for those of you who are being wise and staying home, I'm glad you're tuning in on the live stream. Welcome. My sermon is the second half of Brother Buzz's sermon. I was just amazed. I shouldn't have been amazed, but I was just, tickled. So anyway, righteous, that's the name of my sermon, righteous. And, it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, are you righteous? Do you want to be? Yeah? Okay. You can answer if you want to. I want to be. I do. So how do we do that? Buzz talked about it this morning, the righteousness, and you got to have charity, you got to pray, you got to do these things, and the church needs to do these things, and we need to pray for the church to be able to do these things. So even the church needs to be righteous as a whole. So how do we do that? How is it made possible for us to become righteous? Open your Book of Mormon to the book of the first book of Nephi, chapter 7. Starting at verse 20, I'm on page 74. Verse 20 says, not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their first inheritance. And they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer and the Mighty One of Israel. Okay, so we have the scriptures that he has given us, and we have it for a reason. And he has brought it out of the darkness. He's brought us out of the darkness into the light with his word and the things that he has done for all of us. So I'm going to skip on over here. This is on page 76, and I'm going to start at verse 55, and it says, and the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And our brother Buzz talked this morning about Zion and the New Jerusalem and the Old Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is going to be here. It's going to be here in Independence. And this is where they're going to be led to. Over here. Over there, they're going to go to Jerusalem. The righteous. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. We will become one people. How do we do that? Wherefore he cannot, and so he says, and because of the righteousness of his people, this is verse 60, because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. In order to be righteous, the Holy One of Israel has to reign in your heart. You know, we just got done celebrating one of the big religious holidays of the year, the birth of Emmanuel. The next big holiday, religious holiday that we're going to celebrate is coming up in a couple months. It's the death of Emmanuel. Yeah. So, why do we celebrate that? And what is it that Emmanuel, or the Savior, or the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, what is it that he has done for us? And why? In 1 Peter, and Buzz was right here this morning, 1 Peter chapter 3, if so be, this is verse 8, chapter 3, 1 Peter, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Buzz talked about this morning. Charity, kindness, patience, all the attributes that you have in order to be deemed righteous. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. They're not over the sinner. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's looking out for the righteous, not for the sinners. The sinners don't want to have anything to do with him. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's contrary to what the world is telling us nowadays. God loves everybody. God's going to save everybody. No, I'm sorry. He's not. He is not going to save the evil people, the ones that refuse to become righteous. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Buzz talked about that this morning. He read this part this morning. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So always be ready. Always be ready that you can explain to people why you have that hope of being redeemed by Christ. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. So now we're going to get into the reason for the holidays. It'd be easier if I wasn't talking while I was trying to look at stuff. Chapter 7 of Isaiah, one verse, of course. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything that is. Emmanuel, God with us. Us in all his power, put into the body of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Okay, that's what the word means. It's in Strong's It's actually, it's two words put together, im and el. Okay? And it's amazing what those two words, those two ancient Hebrew words, when you put them together, it means God in all his power with us, the Almighty God in his strength with us. But the two words, im and el, it blows my mind. Okay, so im is, or im, with or amongst equally. Okay, with us, im, out of Emmanuel. And it is from Strong's Hebrew 5973, with or amongst equally. And it's shortened from Hebrews 352, ale. Strength as adjective, mighty, especially the Almighty God, goodly, great, mighty one, power, strong. And 352, ale, comes from the same root word of 193, meaning strength. And it says in the definition, hence anything strong. A pilaster. Pilaster is a foundation that's driven into the ground. That's what you would build on. Okay? A pilaster. A chief. A leader. A ram from his strength. Think back to Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham was going to sacrifice his only begotten son, and he sacrificed a ram that was caught in the bush that God supplied for him so that he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. That ram in his strength, that's in the word Emmanuel. An oak or other strong tree. Think of the tree of life that grows by the river of the waters of life. A mighty man, okay, a strong man, a leader of the tribe, a chief. A lintel is the door header, okay? Door headers have to be strong. They've got to hold up the roof and the ceiling and everything above the doorway opening. A door post or an oak post. All of those things, all of those words are in the definition of the words that make up the word Emmanuel. Okay, so the things that he put into that word are in the Bible, in the stories and the things that God did for the house of Israel. You have the sacrificial ram that Abraham used. You have the doorpost and the lintel in Exodus at Passover, which is one of the holidays that we're getting ready to celebrate here in a couple months. So things that we do in remembrance of what God has done for all of us down through the ages are in the name Emmanuel. And God had it in there for a reason, so that when we see Emmanuel and we recognize that it's Jesus Christ, we can go back into the stories in the Old Testament and go, oh, look, here, my friend of the house of Israel, look at what's in your scriptures. This is Jesus there with the ram. This is Jesus on the day of Passover in Egypt. This is Jesus here. You know, all down through where it talks about, even in Ezekiel, where it talks about the tree of life growing on either side of the river. That's a representation of Jesus Christ. It's all in the word Emmanuel. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Another root word for Emmanuel is number 193 of Hebrew, and it's ul, Emmanuel, ol, or ool. Okay, it's from a root word meaning to twist. Take something and twist it. By implication, be strong. the body are rolled together as in a cable, powerful. That's in the name Emmanuel, a strong, powerful, twisted cable. What was Isaac bound with? Some twisted cords there on the altar? Yeah. What was Jesus tied to the cross with? Some cords. Yeah, he was a sacrifice. He was bound. Okay, Ecclesiastes. That's right before Isaiah. So I went way too far. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay, so let's go into the spiritual side of this here. A cable, a threefold cord, you know, a strong rope, whatever you want to use, that's been twisted together. That's part of the name Emmanuel. And it's right here in Ecclesiastes, talking about what's going to be able to withstand anybody that comes against you and your fellow brothers. What's going to hold you together and help you withstand them? That cord, that threefold cord that binds you to each other. Okay? That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all rolled into one. It's in the word Emmanuel. God put these things in there so that the house of Israel would have the evidence of the Messiah in front of them, and yet they wouldn't see it because it was hidden in plain sight. I told your children this last night, what God does and how he did it, because if they would have saw it and understood what we know now, they would never have crucified him. But he had to be crucified for our righteousness. Yeah, this had to happen. The Messiah had to be crucified. You know, in the book of Exodus, talks about the way it was done there at Passover. It's chapter 12 of Exodus. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. That's Jesus Christ. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. So you're going to take the blood that's in the bowl that's carved into the threshold, that's the basin, and you're going to dip some hyssop in it, and you're going to paint the doorposts, and you're going to paint the header, and you're going to paint the other doorposts. So you have Emmanuel right there at Passover. Doorposts, header, lamb, and the blood, the sacrifice for all of us. This is what allows us to become righteous, what God did for all of us. That word basin, it is the threshold. It's from Hebrew 55:92. The word is saf. And it comes from the root word 5605 in its original sense of containing a vegetable, an entrance, as a limit, the threshold, also a dish for holding blood or wine, basin, bowl, cup, doorpost, gate, or threshold. That was hidden from them. They had it right there in front of them, and they didn't realize what they were doing. It was a representation of Jesus Christ, all of it. Ezekiel chapter 47. Verse 1 of chapter 47 of Ezekiel says, afterward, he, the angel that was in the vision with Ezekiel, showing him the temple and courtyard of the Lord, then he takes him into the house of the Lord and then brings him to the door of the house. And it says, verse 41, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. That water that flowed out from under the threshold, that was the water of the rivers of life. Okay, it was a representation of Jesus Christ flowing out. That word threshold is the same word that they used in Exodus for basin, that you dip the hyssop into the blood. Okay, it's the same word, same thing happened. The blood would spill out onto the street out of the bowl that was carved into the basin, and run down the street as a river of blood or a river of life of the Lamb that was sacrificed for us. It was all there in the word Emmanuel. They had all of this at their fingertips, and they couldn't see it because it was hidden from them in plain sight. Go back to 1 Peter. Chapter 2, starting in verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have you experienced this gift? The gift that God prepared for us, the gift of Christ's sacrifice. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. That's us, the house of the Lord. Okay? We're the church. This is the building that it's talking about, the people. We're the lively stones. Chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what Buzz was telling us this morning. Be kind, be patient, be courteous, be thoughtful, be meek, be humble, put other people before you, put their needs before you, put God before you, put your family before you. Do all of these things. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So yeah, the house of Israel stumbled all over that rock. They tripped over the threshold of the door. They didn't get it. Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, this is what we are to do. Speak the truth in love. Be ready in an instant to bear your testimony as to why you believe that God is going to redeem your soul. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're supposed to make this holy building. Okay? We're supposed to be the temple of the Lord. As humans, each one of us is one of those stones that make up the building. And how do we do that? It says, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Okay, the word righteous means to be correct. Or in Spanish, it's called righteous, it's called recto. Okay? Which means fitly joined together. That's what it means. You fit into the mold. You fit into the building. You know, in the tile business, you can buy tile at Home Depot or Lowe's and, you know, any place you want. But if you want to get something that's really good, you buy rectified tile. Rectified tile means tile that is made to fitly join together, tight joints, okay? Each piece of rectified tile is exactly the same size and dimension as the next piece in the box. There's no variance in rectified tile. They make sure of it. And you can put it together tight, okay? It's righteous tile, fitly joined together. This is what he expects from us. To become righteous, we have to be worked on by God so that we fit one to the next, to the next, to the next. And then he binds us together with that threefold cord. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything that we have, we're tied together in that. This is how we make that body. This is how we make the church. We're worked on by God. We're made righteous by Him through His sacrifice and through our work. Buzz talked about that this morning. So we need to do what he said. Practice every day being righteous. Turn to Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. You want to, if you ever get the opportunity to just stand up front and listen to you people sing, you'll experience what this is saying. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in his eyes, in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what you do when you become righteous. You praise him, you thank him, you sing to him, you tell people what he has done for you. This is what is expected of us so that we will be that righteous church. All right, now we're going to go to We're going to go to John chapter 2. Okay, remember the threshold at Passover had the blood of the lamb in it. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And you're like, what is he? This has nothing to do with Passover. Well, just wait. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Okay, what they're talking about is there's these stone jars, water pots. They hold about 30 gallons apiece. There's 6 of them. There's almost 180 gallons of water in these 6 jars. Okay? And it's stone. And it's water. Okay? They're called water pots. It means something that you collect water in or store water in for cleansing. That's what this was for. It wasn't for drinking purposes. It was for cleansing, purifying yourself for the holy days. Jesus saith, verse 6, 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Jesus turned the water into wine in stone water pots. This is a representation of his sacrifice, his blood, the wine in the pot, stone, is Jesus Christ. And coincidentally, he's at a wedding. Turn to Matthew, 22nd chapter. Verse 2, this is Jesus speaking. It's a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. We're at another wedding. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. All right, all you people, come on. Come to the marriage of the son of the king. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They killed the messengers. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highway and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. You know, that's our job. We're supposed to bid people to come to the wedding of the son of the king. He's getting ready to marry his bride. And it's our job to go out and bid them to the wedding, even if we die doing it. That's our job. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in thither, not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. He got thrown out because he wasn't righteous. He didn't have on the right clothes. He didn't fit with the rest of the guests. He was thrown out into outer darkness with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, cast into hell, that lake of fire. Revelation chapter 19. Starting at verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne. This is John in the vision that he has here in the book of Revelation. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. Well, we already read that that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's Emmanuel, just in case you're curious. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The bride of Christ, the church of Christ, the righteous people. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. So there is going to be a marriage. There's going to be a wedding. And we need to be ready to be there. This church is to be the bride of Christ. We're it. Yeah. You've all been called to the wedding. All of you who have been baptized and taken upon you the name of Christ have become righteous. You've been given that pure white garment. Now, whether you've kept it spotless or not, that's up to you. Now, if you need to get it cleansed, that can be taken care of. Okay? Take it to the cleaner. He knows how to do it. Ask him to clean your garment, your soul, of the stains of your sins, and he'll do it. He's willing, free of charge. So there, you know, we, as a church of Christ, the bride of Christ, we have a duty. We are to be ready for the day of that wedding. You know the story of the ten virgins? Five wise, five foolish. When the day of the wedding came and the groom was there and there was five of the wise virgins and they had their oil and everything and the bridegroom goes, Okay, it's time. Come on in. And they went in and they shut the door. And the five foolish virgins that ran out of oil, they come running up to the door after it's shut, and they're pounding on the door, let me in, let me in. And he's like, it's too late. I don't even know who you are. They didn't get to come in. You know, they had their garments, they just didn't have their oil. They couldn't let the light shine because their sins had snuffed it out. Are you ready for the wedding? Are you ready to be the bride of Christ? Jacob, the book of Jacob in the Book of Mormon. It's page 173. This is chapter 2 of Jacob, verse 54. It says, "Behold the Lamanites, your brethren." And he's talking to the Nephites. Jacob's talking to the Nephites. He's telling them about their sins. "Behold the Lamanites, your brethren, whom ye hate because of their filthiness and the cursings which hath come upon their skins, are more righteous than you." They could get invited to the wedding. You guys are filthy. You think you're clean, but you're not. Okay? "And the cursings which hath come upon their skins are more righteous than you, for they have not forgotten the commandment of the Lord, which was given unto our father that they should have, save it were, one wife, and concubines they should have none, and there should not be whoredoms committed among them. And now this commandment they observe to keep, wherefore because of this observance and keeping this commandment, the Lord God will not destroy them, but will be merciful unto them, and one day they shall become a blessed people. Behold, their husbands love their wives, and their wives love their husbands, and their husbands and their wives love their children." One wife, one bride. There's only going to be one church that's going to get married. That is the church of Christ. It says so. So, are you ready? Are we ready? We need to be prepared. Because we don't know when it's going to happen. We know according to the scriptures that we're getting close, but we don't know what year. We don't know what day. But yeah, it's coming. So are we ready? Are you as an individual ready? Are you going to make it through the door and be part of the wedding ceremony? I've been given an invitation just like you. And I hope that I will be ready. I hope that I will be found to be righteous enough to be invited in. So on a daily basis, many more than just once a day, I say my prayers, I talk to God, I ask Him to forgive me of my sins, I ask Him to please guide me in my life, to give me wisdom and understanding of His Word, that I'll keep His commandments, that I will be a good example for everyone that I meet. You know, this is what we're supposed to do. This is how you are ready. This is how we can be prepared. You do this. You know, Buzz was telling us this morning, pray, pray and pray that you will do these things. Pray for your friends, your family, that they'll be able to do it. Pray for the church, that the church will be ready. This is our job. This is what we have been called to do. Go out and invite as many people as you can to come to the wedding. There's only going to be one wedding. There's only going to be one bride. You know, Jesus Christ isn't going to have a bunch of concubines. No. One wife, one church. That's it. So righteous. Fitly joined together, washed in the blood, redeemed by the sacrifice of Emmanuel. Remember that when April comes around. Okay? I love you all, and I'll pray for all of you. Please pray for me. Thank you.